Welcome to Stopgap Talks, your go-to podcast for expert insights into the marketing, digital, creative, and research recruitment landscape. With over 30 years of experience, our consultants are here to share the wisdom, strategies, and success stories that can transform your hiring or career journey. If you enjoy the episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review to help others find us. Now let's dive in to the latest episode of Stopgap Talks.
Hello, welcome to Stopgap Talks. I am Sarah, one of the principal consultants here at Stopgap. And today we are talking all things product marketing with the wonderful Hattie, known as Hattie the PMM, of course, to her 40,000 strong following on LinkedIn. Hattie and I met several years ago when you were a candidate of ours. And from then, you've gone from strength to strength, obviously founding this fantastic community, productmarketers.com, which really just elevates the careers of so many product marketers around the globe. And we're delighted to have you on, Hattie, to talk about hiring your first product marketing manager or product marketing team, and also to support those looking for work in this space as well. So, Hattie, would you like to just introduce yourself in your own words?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sarah. And it's great to be here. So hello, everyone. I'm Hattie the PMM. I founded productmarketers.com. I was previously a CEO, CMO and product marketing manager within tech with over 11 plus years in the world of tech. And it has been amazing to see product marketing grow as a function, not only in the US, but now in the UK and in Europe. And I built out productmarketers.com, as you said, Sarah, to really allow PMMs to become the best product marketing manager that they can be. So great to be here. I'm excited for this discussion.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. So I guess we're talking hiring your first product marketing manager in a minute, but just in your own words, Hattie, the essence of what a product marketing manager is would be a helpful starting point. So can you talk us through the essence of it?
Yeah, for sure. So where people typically go wrong, Sarah, is people think that product marketing is marketing the product when it couldn't be further from the truth. Product marketing is more of a strategic function, but also we do the tactical elements as well. We act as a consultant that comes in and looks at what needs to be built on the positioning, the messaging, the foundation to the actual company as a whole. And then we work strategically with other departments like sales, product, customer support, marketing, to then build out the collaterals that sit on top of it. For example, I like to say that we are the architects to a building. You don't just expect us as product marketers to come in and start painting a building that hasn't even been built yet. We set the foundation in which everything sits upon. So that's why product marketing in general has been such a strongly built foundation within the US tech scene. And it has taken a while for us to see that level of understanding here within the UK and within Europe. Because in America, they're definitely going much faster in terms of building out their tech companies, but also leveraging product marketing as setting the foundation across all the different teams. So sales do not create any sales collateral or any forms of slide decks or anything without product marketing's help. Like customer support does not outreach to any current customers, but also prospective customers without product marketing's help, because we do the groundwork in setting the foundation, setting the understanding of how we differentiate ourselves. How do we vocalize that in terms of our messaging? How do we make sure that we are winning deals, you know, that the competition is going after, and how do we make sure that everyone is aligned in various different forms of organizations, whether they're large to small to scale up, and make sure that everyone is singing to the same hymn sheet. And that's what we do as product marketing managers.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I love that description of you being the architects, for sure. And with that in mind, if you're, say you are a startup looking to hire your first marketeer, is this the starting point?
100%. I don't think that there's a better ROI that you can have, especially as a founder, especially within tech or any organization, honestly. It can be B2C, it can be B2B. Your first marketing hire should be your product marketing manager. And here is why. Because if you hire your product marketing manager first, what we will do is we will come in, we will understand the groundwork in terms of what actually led us to get the customers that we currently have. Okay, maybe the organization wants to move away from SME, small businesses, but now we want to get into enterprise. Okay, then us as a PMM, we can come in and understand how have we landed previous enterprise organizations? How do we then ramp that up in terms of what collateral do we need? What strategy do we need? How do we work with sales in order to do that? How do we then translate that into messaging that resonates? How do we then position ourselves as an organization from the ground up? And then all of the collateral sits on top of it. Where a lot of tech organizations that I've advised have gone wrong is they immediately go to the growth marketer. They're like, let's just throw money into ads. Let's just get more eyeballs on what we're doing, when actually they haven't done the groundwork in terms of, well, what is it that we actually want to say? What is it that's the most effective piece of our product? What is the aha moment that our customers are having that we want to make sure is front page of our website, or maybe is front page of our ads? So hiring the PMM first is actually the best way to mitigate all of the challenges that come further down the line, where typically organizations will dive head first after a round of funding, hire loads of growth marketers or general marketers or social media marketers, and then have to cut the team 3 to 6 months down the road because they actually haven't done the strategy piece, which is the product marketing piece. And what's more important is make sure that your PMM, if you are hiring one, especially if they are your founding PMM, make sure that they are in the room on the executive level, and make sure that they're in the room on the strategy level, amongst the C-suite, amongst the executives, amongst the senior stakeholders in your organization. Why? It's because they can take the context in which why you're making decisions as a company, why we're going in specific routes, and take that context and then use it as part of the product marketing that can then be distilled across the different teams. So that way, sales aren't running in a different direction or saying different, we promise you X, Y, Z in our feature set, when actually they get the deal over the line, but then it leads your company going into a completely different direction versus where you as an organization have agreed with your investors, have agreed with your stakeholders, have agreed all in all. So making sure that the PMM is there from the get-go and we understand the context as to why decisions are being made allows us to then use that context in terms of the final product of what your prospects see, of what your contextualized customers see. And then everything just seems like it's going in the right direction and all of the teams are working in harmony. And this is crucial for organizations over the 500 employee mark, 1,000 employee mark, where it starts to become clogged with backlogs and stifled by, people getting in the way, or things are starting to slow down, when actually the product marketing function speeds it up rapidly. So that's why it's like the most important hire to have in your organization when you're considering building out your marketing function.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's giving real insight into how pivotal this role is. And it's a real underpinning of everything marketing wise that you're doing. So that's really clear. Thank you. And if you are at this point thinking we're making our first hire, what sort of questions do you think a team should be asking before starting that process?
So the questions to ask can definitely be geared around what you're currently facing, because a lot of my clients who I advise in terms of getting new jobs and also just maintaining their current ones, they usually come up against the typical issue, which is a lot of organizations do not understand what product marketing is. And therefore, they don't actually know the right questions to ask to get the value out of a PMM, because typically they think, oh, are they just here to create, the collateral? Are they here to do one-off projects? Are they the strategic function? Are they the consultative? Are they, like, what are they? So the best questions to ask to really assess whether a product marketer is your best next hire, or whether they will be able to unlock potential EBITDA or profit or revenue from your organization right now where you're currently at, is to understand, firstly, what is it that you as an organization have as your major pain points, as your major blockers? What are you aiming to accomplish in the next 2 quarters, for example? And then ask questions around that in terms of their relevant experience, or how they've been able to do it in the past, or how would they potentially unlock to new projects and how they create new projects that would unlock answers to that. So I would recommend asking, number one, what is the person's definition of product marketing? Because if you're hiring a product marketer from, let's say, a fan company versus a startup, they're going to be two completely different answers. They're going to be one that's rooted in strategy, one that's rooted in organizational processes versus one that maybe comes from more of a scrappy startup environment, which is more entrepreneurial, which encompasses a bit more in terms of the tactical side. So it's really important to get very clear about what is it that you want to unlock and to figure out and assess whether the product marketer can actually enable that. Where I would recommend not going and not asking questions around is the actual tactical side. So I feel like a lot of interviews that my clients come up against are around, so what are the collaterals you would create and what are the sales decks that you have created? Let's see the sales enablement. Let me see your battle cards, etc. And I think that's the wrong way to do it because that's not coming from a systems thinking background. If you're really building out and investing in your product marketing team right now, it's super important to go to the depth of systems thinking. Systems thinking is, okay, well, what is it that we currently want to accomplish, but also where do we want to take this organization in the next year to 5 years potentially? And especially if you are, for example, an AI tech company and you're building out your product marketing team, this is crucially important because where AI powered was like your differentiator in the past is now becoming the norm. So now how do you differentiate from all the other organizations that you come across? And therefore, how do you then hire the right PMM to unlock the goal that you want? So it would be a case of asking the PMM, what is your definition of product marketing? How do you see any gaps that are currently here? And then if you really want to go deeper with a PMM, and this is something that isn't utilized, but it should be, is actually pay the PMM to do a bit of consultative work as part of the interview process. And here's why. Because if you expect a in-depth answer to the questions that you're asking from a PMM, you might get the surface level answer around, okay, I would probably do a sales enablement piece. I'll probably do a win-loss program in order to find out the specific answers. But if you want to go in-depth to see if this person is going to be a truly good fit, I would highly recommend putting a little bit of budget aside to then have the PMM do a piece of like consultative work as part of the interview process to really understand if they're a good fit for you. That's the way that would unlock true learnings, but also if you didn't hire the person, it would feel like a win-win either side, because then they would be able to give you the insights that you need, but also you'd be able to understand who is a true good fit for your organization.
That's a fantastic tip. And I think I see so often that these tasks are set, but they aren't consultative pieces of work. And obviously candidates find that frustrating and don't necessarily put their all into it. And actually that's, yeah, fantastic tip for hiring managers, especially if it's the first time they're hiring for this role. I think seeing the value that this person can add in real terms, that's brilliant. And just going back to what we were talking about in terms of unlocking sort of what they can do for you, I think historically, and this is sort of years ago when product marketing was perhaps even less established, I found each product marketing job description I got was slightly different in terms of the transferables they were looking for. And at that time, people without product marketing titles, you're looking at marketing managers who maybe have some core skills and core strengths to transfer across. What would you say, maybe name three of the sort of core strengths of a marketeer who has the potential to become a fantastic product marketeer?
Oh, yeah. So It's a great point, firstly, around, you know, the founding PMM coming into an organization, because as a founding PMM, in essence, the three main ways that you would be able to really crush it in an organization, but also add the most amount of value to an organization as quickly as possible, is number one, go in with a very strong consultative mindset, if not act like a business strategist. If you act like a business strategist and a consultant, you're able to look across all the different departments to see where the weaknesses are, to see where the gaps are. And basically, you're acting as the CMO for the product that you own. Whether it's multiple different products, whether you're working across different product management teams, it's important for you to look at the holistic the overview first as like the step number one. And if you maintain and grow that muscle of being a consultative mindset, then you have that in everything that you do. So even when you're providing the tactical outcomes and the outputs that you're creating out of the back of a campaign or out of the back of a project, you'd be able to actually see, well, where did this contextually come from? And you'd be able to teach it to the others, which is super important because we as a PMM, we sit across so many different teams and we work with so many different teams. It's not like any other or like any other job title in any other department, because we have to work with sales, we have to work with product, we have to work with CS. And these are the people and these are the teams who are implementing the work that we are creating for them. So it's super important that we come in with a consultative mindset. But the second is to make sure that you have strategic visibility. Strategic visibility has so many different habits and traits as part of it. And I'll go into depth in this, is if you're able to build up your strategic visibility in a way that other teams really respect you, want to listen to you, want to hear your ideas, but also when you deliver a piece of outcome, for example, let's say a battle card that compares your company to a competitor, and then the sales team are able to use that in terms of conversations to say, well, here's how we stack up against X competitor that you're comparing us against. Then when you actually create it, they will use it. Because the major issue that I come across with my PMM consultants and even clients who are in-house is they say the sales team aren't using the outputs that we create, or they're not listening to us, or they think they can do it better, or there are issues that are coming up that are in between kind of like office politics and not understanding what product marketing is, and therefore they've made up their own definition. That's why it's super important to be visible strategically, to make sure that your assets land. Because here's the thing, Sarah, if other people in the other departments who work with us as a PMM aren't using what we're creating, it is not useful. It is a waste of time. And this is especially important for employers who are considering bringing in the PMM function. This is why I mentioned bring them into the strategic executive level stakeholder meetings. Because if you're able to build up the importance and the respect factor of the product marketing division in your organization, then other teams will too. And heads of those teams will bring in the PMM whenever they need them, but also just to be on the fly on the wall and to understand what is the context in which the other teams are learning, what they're hearing from customers, what they're hearing from prospects. So the second is to really build up that muscle, because if you don't, you will create assets that go unused. And if they go unused, the organization either regresses or it stays the same, or you're just not moving in the direction that you want the organization to move in within the next quarter to two quarters. And the third, I would say, is super important, is to make sure that you are taking into account what your employer is saying, what the market is saying, and being able to have boundaries, but also be assertive. It's a really interesting place where us as PMMs fall into, where a lot of my clients are on the introverted side. They are people pleasers. They typically are, as like in terms of their personality set. And I think what makes the best PMMs, ironically, are the people who are introverted, who are people pleasers, who are empaths. Why? It's because they actually care about the customer. They actually care about the prospect. And I'm telling you, if you hire a PMM who cares about the customer above all else, you will not go far wrong. It will actually work even better. But the thing is, with people who have these personality types, is they typically get railroaded by the louder voices in sales, get railroaded by the louder voices in product, the CTO, the developers who want to build whatever they want to build, right? Without actually taking into account, well, what is it the customer actually needs? The organizations that I see in tech who are absolutely crushing it right now are the ones who are not just, they say they're customer first as part of their, you know, 5-point principle of like our culture in this company, but actually they hire the PMMs who are truly customer first and they listen to them. There's a huge difference between saying you're customer first and then actually listening to the PMM who is saying, actually, if we do this, we build that feature set, it's actually going to deviate from what our customers actually truly want right now. And therefore, you're putting resources into something that might appease stakeholders or investors or the VC or the private equity fund, but actually, it's not actually appeasing our customers or potential prospects. So this is the fine line that we as PMMs face. And that's why it's super important to build up and invest in yourself. If you don't have that muscle of being assertive or being able to negotiate or being able to get people bought into what you're saying, it's crucial to build up the soft skills as part of the hard skills as well. Where I find a lot of product marketers, even senior ones who are 30 years in the game, who I'm coaching right now, 30 years based out of Boston, Silicon Valley, they have not taken the time to build up the soft skills as well as the hard. They've like thrown themselves into the courses, into the certifications. And I'm like, I always pose the question to them is, if every other product marketing manager has taken the exact same course as you, the exact same certification as you, has read the exact same books as you, what is it that differentiates the great from the mediocre? If they've taken the exact same hard skills, and it is literally the soft skills, it's your ability to be strategic in how visible you are, but also how you get your stakeholders to get bought in to what you're producing and the projects that you're actually bringing to the surface, and to make sure that your senior leadership listens to you and is able to implement and respect the fact that you've done the legwork in terms of the market research and everything that's gone along with it.
I love this stuff. I love how definitely what you're saying, different roles, different personalities and different roles. There is so much correlation there in terms of what makes you tick and how that translates in your delivery. But yeah, what you're saying about kind of flexing those muscles is so important. I think for all of us in any role, actually, someone once described it to me like your personality can be like a hob, a gas hob. And when you know where the settings are naturally fitting, you can turn it up or turn it down. And yeah, I guess what you're saying with product marketing, actually, you might be naturally more of an empath and a listener and an introvert, but actually turning up that assertiveness will set you up for success. And I think that's really powerful. And so essentially what you're saying, so those core transferable skills are more kind of the soft side. And like you say, you can, the hard skills can be learned, but the softer side and your strategic output is so important. So we've already touched on this already in terms of getting these people in the room for strategic conversations, but how else can a team set up their product marketeer for success?
To truly set them up for success, I highly recommend giving them a budget, either monthly or quarterly, to use towards however they want to use it. And here's why it's so important, because then they can actually use specific amount of budget towards, let's say, customer interviews or prospect calls to get them on a call with gift cards or whatever they want to use to incentivize them. Or they can use it towards AI tools that would speed up, let's say, a win-loss program or some sort of collateral that they're creating, or maybe even like using AI to build out slide decks or any bit of collateral that they need. Using budget in order for them to allocate in the way that they should. And I think giving them that autonomy actually speeds up the rate of progress. But also, what's super important, if you really truly want to set up your product marketing function for success, is to make sure that the other departments understand the crucial nature of why it's important, and also the respect factor. Because here's the biggest thing that is going to derail your product marketing and derail your marketing in general, is if the other teams that they work alongside do not understand what it is, but also truly feel like it's under-respected and not respected as a whole, which a lot of organizations do go through that. I've had a couple clients who had product marketing and then the company axed product marketing in general, and then they brought it back in 6 months later because they're like, holy crap, we didn't understand the importance, the veracity of like why product marketing is the complete foundation. Otherwise, all the other teams are running in their own different directions, depending on what they want to do versus what's important for the organization. So it's super important if you're building out your product marketing function, whether it's one person or 10 or even 100 PMMs, it's super important to do the groundwork in laying out to the other heads of departments why it's important for them, how it adds value to their teams. So for example, for sales, it actually increases the probability and the conversion rate of closing deals if you have product marketing, because they're able to provide the intel to your sales team without them having to do that groundwork. To the product team, are doing their own interviews in terms of customer interviews for the feature set, but the product team needs interviews in regards to what is the market saying, how are we stacking up against competitors, and that's the PMM's job. Versus, you know, the CS team, the customer support team, are dealing with our amazing customers, but they're trying to figure out how do we unlock more profit, more EBITDA out of our current customer set. Product marketing can help do that as well. So if you truly want to set up your product marketing team for success, give them a budget, allow them to have autonomy, but also give them a voice, allow them to share their learnings in the places where other teams are learning from. Is that a company-wide town hall every month? Is that a company update like Slack channel that you have once a week? Allow product marketing to be a strategized, self-standing function as part of that update, and you will see, you will feel the other teams start to work in harmony around the product marketing division. And that's how the organizations that I'm seeing in tech who are making insane amounts of ground up are using their product marketing function as their strategic lever to strategically have high leverage across their entire organization through their product marketing. And I've also seen this through PE firms, private equity firms, who heavily invest in organizations then build out their product marketing function to do exactly this.
Yeah, brilliant. And that understanding of what the value is and what it really means to be a product marketer is so important for all organizations. Absolutely. So moving on to, we touched on it there, sort of how AI, I mean, we could open a can of worms here, couldn't we? I mean, AI is obviously a huge topic. We could do a whole separate podcast on it. But in terms of this role specifically, you mentioned a couple of things there that, it's impacting and helping with, but anything else that you would add to that in terms of AI?
Yeah, so AI is going to be a huge unlock to a lot of PMMs, but like I've said, a lot of PMMs just haven't been given the budget to use towards it. So I throw product marketing events here in London on a monthly basis. And the last panel event that we had, so it's a mini conference, and the last panel had a PMM from Intercom, a very senior PMM from Intercom. And basically what she was explaining was AI is being used in a way that they are now acting like a director of AI tools. That's the premise of the entire company. So the entire company now is kind of working in a hackathon sort of way, where people don't actually have like actual job titles, which again is another point of product marketing, where you can have someone specific to go to market. You can have a sales enablement person, or you can have a product marketing manager who encompasses all different assets. But what's fascinating is the PMMs who are going to have the biggest impact on an organization, and organizations who will move faster than your competitors, are the PMMs who have the AI tools and they act as directors of it. Because I'm telling you, if you have your PMMs acting as the strategic consultative business strategist functions, and then they have the AI tools who actually create the collateral off the back of the in-depth research that the PMMs have done, the customer interviews, the nuanced relationships, the nuanced conversations, and all of that insight that comes into them, whether it's the qualitative and the quantitative, but then they're able to put it in terms of using AI tools to then direct and create the collateral off the back of it, which is like to design the slide decks or to create the battle cards or to speed up the rate of which you create like really concise messaging for the sales team to use, or maybe you have like a new demo that is then used. It's just, it will speed up the absolute growth of your entire organization across so many different teams. And the balancing of the human and the digital element is, if you use the digital, the AI for the tactical, but then you use the human for the actual consultative, strategic, like the actual understanding of what is happening within the organization, but also outside of it in the market, that is where you can have the biggest learnings, but also the biggest ROI on the PMM.
Yeah, absolutely. A big time saver as well for that person to focus on the strategizing that they are so naturally good at. So gives them that space. Absolutely. So moving on to candidates, because I know that obviously you coach a lot of people in this field. So it's a competitive market at the moment, as we know, across all marketing disciplines. But as a product marketer looking for their next move, how can they differentiate themselves in this market?
Yeah, so it's only a difficult market for those who just haven't figured out the game. And the game is really to understand where is the aligned incentives. And this is something that I teach all of my clients, which is figure out what are the incentives of the organization, but also what is it that they really want to accomplish within the next quarter or the next couple quarters. Really delve deep into it. A lot of PMMs who I coach and I see how they interview in their interviewing style, and because they are introverted, because they are people pleasers, they will literally just take the information, or they're just being asked a barrage of questions and they just keep answering it, blah, 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 blah. When actually it should be a conversation like we're having right here. It should be a back and forth, ping pong, understanding what it is they're trying to get to, but also being able to have the wherewithal to ask questions back and say, hey, before I answer that question, let's like double click on that. I would like to understand more. And then it's all around like the framing of how do you, as a PMM or someone who's trying to break into product marketing, for example, how do you then leverage what you've previously done and then put that into a story that is compelling according to what is it that they want to accomplish? So step number one is really understanding what is it from the JD or the conversations that you're having with the internal recruiters or the recruiters in general, or maybe with Stopgap, is to understand what is it that they're trying to accomplish and then orientate everything that you're saying around that. And this is why personal branding is so important. And actually everything that I've mentioned so far is actually all around personal branding, believe it or not. It's about your personal brand when you're inside the organization and how people are perceiving you and how visible you are and how respected you are and what aura that you're giving off whenever you enter into a meeting and how you actually enable other people that you work with to get to their goals. But also when you are interviewing, it's all about your personal brand. It's not necessarily about your, you know, your gravitas or your years in employment. It's about how do you distill the information in a way that that person on the other side of the call really wants to receive it. And also, what is it that they need? Do they need someone who's just a yes person, or do they need someone who's going to probe a little bit deeper to understand what is it you're trying to get to, and therefore what are the results that I can speak to in my past that has allowed me to get there? And this is why I'm so bullish on coaching people to really not want to change themselves, but to lean into themselves even stronger. A lot of people feel like, oh, I'm interviewing and therefore I need to act like I'm a different version of me, when I'm all about, no, just lean into what has allowed you to be so good at what you've been doing so far, whether it's in a completely different industry and you're trying to break into product marketing, or whether you've been in product marketing for 30 plus years and you're still finding it difficult. There's some sort of limiting belief there we need to unpack. And out of that limiting belief is another one, which is a big one, which is a lot of PMMs, especially in Europe or in the UK, think that they can't earn over six figures. And that is like not a thing. That is a limiting belief. That's a fallacy. Because I have coached many PMMs. Within 3 to 6 months, they've landed a six-figure job. And it happens. And the only way it happens is you're able to link what you're currently doing or what you could do for that organization to the true value that that organization will receive. And I don't think enough people truly understand the gravitas of the value that we can add to an organization. I'm telling you, if you do product marketing the right way, and to the people who are listening who are looking to employ PMMs, a PMM, even one, can add millions in terms of profit and EBITDA and revenue to your organization if it's done right. And that is not an understatement. This is a gate-kept piece of information that private equity firms do not want you to know. Otherwise, their competitors will be hiring PMMs through the roof. And this is why the US have been so bullish in product marketing. Mm-hmm. And they are hiring PMMs for 150K, 200K upwards. And in the UK, I have enabled my clients to land six-figure jobs from like 100K, 120. And I know that Anthropic, for example, is hiring at like 180 for a UK-based PMM. So, and these are the AI worlds, right? So the AI tech companies are hiring through the roof, and you can get to six figures within 2 to 4 years. Like if you really want to take your own time with it, but if you want to speed it up, obviously hire a coach, whether it's me or anyone else, feel free. But it's so important to lean into how are you portraying yourself and how are you portraying the function of product marketing, which is so overlooked, so misunderstood, so undervalued, because people typically think that product marketing is marketing the product, which from our conversation so far is literally the opposite. It's literally the groundwork, the strategy, the implementing what will actually unlock further revenue in terms of your current customer set, but also new ones from the different teams that we work with. It is so crucial, so, so crucial. And therefore, an organization would be so willing to pay, let's say, 150K in terms of a salary, whether that's encompassing stocks and, you know, like all the benefits and private healthcare, whatever, to then unlock a million, if not, let's say, conservatively 500K if you're a scale up or if you're a fully fledged organization. So, yeah. The career pathway in product marketing is so exciting. There is so much to be had. There is so much room for more PMMs, especially with now more AI companies and tech companies in general getting funding. And product marketing is the way to go if you are building out your marketing team.
Absolutely. And the two-way street that this is, you know, the organization understanding the value and then the individual understanding their value. And this is why it's so important to have this conversation on both sides. And then it can unlock so much in terms of ROI and just, you know, job fulfillment for the product marketeer as well. It's, really interesting. Thank you, Hattie. And moving on to, you mentioned there it's an exciting time in the market. I mean, what does excite you about the next 2 to 3 years in this landscape?
Oh my goodness. I feel like product marketing is going to be the number one differentiator between the companies who absolutely grow and fly versus the ones who stagnate, especially if you're a scale up or a larger organization. And it's going to be so crucial to the fact that the organizations that I'm seeing now who are heavily investing in product marketing are seeing their company and their organization differentiated very clearly to the market, and they're seeing a true impact on the revenue. Now, when it comes down to actually measuring a PMM's impact directly, you might not be able to actually see it, but you will be able to see the direct impact through the other teams that a PMM works with. And I typically feel like the organizations that I'm seeing who want my advisory, so I do advisor for some organizations on the product marketing lens, they are showing that there is a true growing demand for product marketing, especially here in Europe and the UK, and companies are following the US hiring models. Even in Brazil right now, Brazil is like the hotspot for product marketing. Product marketing is actually the job title to have in Brazil because it's so new and it's so fresh. And I feel like the other areas of the world outside of the Western world are now catching up to how important it is. So it is a world of excitement, but also there are concerns. Excuse me.
All right.
There are concerns. The concerns are the organizations who are cutting back on product marketing, thinking that if they just gas what they've currently done, that they will be able to keep growing. And that is not the case. It is not the case. You have to keep investing in product marketing even when things are going right. It's like going to the gym and saying, hey, I quit the gym now that I'm muscly and now that I've hit my goal. No, you have to maintain it. Otherwise, you literally regress. It makes zero sense. So I'm seeing organizations literally scrap their entire product marketing team, and then they're rebuilding it back from scratch 6 months to 9 months later. And they're asking me for my advice. And I'm like, well, dude, like, not to be rude, but why did you even think that? So a growing challenge that I find amongst PMMs who are let go or have redundancy, they typically think it was them or their value that they provided. And I'm like, no, no, from everything that we've delved into, you have done amazingly well. You added a ton of revenue to the organization. For some reason, they still saw marketing as a cost center when actually it's a profit center. And just because you can't directly see the impacts of product marketing, it doesn't mean the impacts weren't there. The impacts were seen through the other teams. And that's why I highly recommend employers look to A-B test different quarters, look to A-B test different like year on year, see what's growing, and then attribute especially some of that revenue to product marketing because it has come from there. Just because you don't see a direct correlation between X number and Y number, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. So a challenge is really overcoming that, the understanding of product marketing and the understanding that product marketing is a function that you should invest in whether things are going wrong, but also when things are going right.
Yeah. So in summary, don't find out the hard way that product marketing is driving so much revenue and having such an impact. Absolutely. So the key takeaways from what we've discussed so far, should we just summarize some of those key highlights? If you could summarize maybe two things to tell somebody hiring and two things to tell a candidate, summarizing what we've said.
Yeah. So to the people who are hiring PMMs, the time is now to start building out your product marketing function. Do not think that AI will be your product marketer. I've seen some really loony LinkedIn posts saying ChatGPT is my product marketer. And then they say, no, sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant like the actual tactical side, which is basically what I mentioned in terms of, sure, if you want to create like a bit of copy, feel free, but you have a lot of like groundwork to be done ahead of that. So hire into a product marketer, even if it's just one, just to see what you can unlock across your different teams. Because if you treat your product marketer as they are the mini CMO who works across all of these different teams on the ground level, as opposed to the higher up, you know, looking down level, then you will see tremendous ROI. And then the second thing, if you're hiring a product marketer, is bring them in to the meetings that are super important as quickly as possible and give them the budget associated so then they can use that accordingly. If you truly trust your product marketer and the product marketing function, they will make up huge grounds across their other teams that they work with, across the ability to unlock further revenue away from current competitors versus unlocking new potential markets or new verticals or new use cases. And you'll be able to see the floodgates open because it'll be done in a very strategic way. It will be done in a methodical way. And the assets will be there built as a foundation for the other teams to work off of. So then when you, for example, decide, oh, we're going to break into the Scandinavian region, how do we then message or position our company accordingly? Who are the competitors out there? Are there regulations out there that we need to abide by, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? The product marketer is on it because they have done the legwork, they've done the research. And see product marketing as an investment that is not just for the short, immediate term to solve potential issues that are like short term, but also see product marketing for the long term too, because we encompass both. It is so important to look at the two. Now, when it comes to the employees or people who are thinking about breaking in, or you've been in product marketing for a long time, is number one, your strategic visibility is everything, my friend, everything. It's no longer just important to just do the work, because now the AI tools can potentially do some of our tactical outputs that require us to overlook it, or maybe they can even be our V1, so our version one, that we can then do the edited versions off the back of that. But see it as you need to be visible across not only the teams that you work with, but the higher ups, the executives, to make sure that they are understanding what you are currently seeing in the market and making sure that you are relaying that information on a consistent level, but also the assertiveness is there. So if they are not willing to listen to it, how can you pass the information in a way that they would be able to be more open to it? So then the executives are learning about things that are happening in the market 6 to 9 months down the line when it's a little bit too late, but they're hearing it right here, right now, even if they don't want to hear it, which is the toughest part. And then the second is learning how to invest in yourself consistently. A lot of PMMs that I see, Sarah, are literally 20, 30 years in the game, but they've only now decided to invest in themselves. And they are literally like, I wish I had learned this back then when I had first started. Otherwise, I've just gone through the long route through my career versus me wanting to up-level myself as quickly as possible. This is how you get to the VP heads of, you know, product marketing as quickly as possible. Also, I'm seeing PMMs enter into the CMO role very, very fast. Because if you have a CMO who has come through the world of product marketing, they are then able to have a more of a business strategist, consultative mindset to everything that's built in the marketing division. So they're not just coming from it from a branding point of view or from a sales or growth point of view. They're coming from it from a holistic systems thinking point of view. And that's like the route to go. And if you really are here to be a profitable PMM, that is what is so important. Keep the profitability. If you are thinking about becoming a profitable PMM, keep the profitability of the organization as front of mind, but also your profitability off the back of it, which is maybe at some point you want to become a consultant. Maybe at some point you want to become a fractional PMM. And there are PMMs who have gone from in-house earning 150K, if not more, and then entering a consultancy where they're earning 500K to a million. And I know these people. So it totally depends on where you want to go. But I'm so excited about product marketing in general. I feel like now's the right time for us to be really recognized here within the UK, here within Europe, away from the Americans, even though I love my American friends. But America has really established the art. And I feel like we can even push it further and really build upon it. So I'm super excited about product marketing. And yeah, I'm super excited that we get to speak about it here today.
Oh, thank you, Hattie. That is so valuable and such an interesting conversation. The role of a product marketer is so fascinating and so powerful in an organization. And you've really brought that to life for us today. So thank you so much. What have you got going on at the moment, Hattie, that our listeners can inquire about or look into?
Oh my goodness, what don't I have going on? Which is more of a question.
Busy lady.
Busy lady, yeah. So check me out on productmarketers.com. There I have my Profitable PMM Challenge, which is a 5-day live coaching experience that I highly recommend every PMM of every seniority to join, whether you're thinking about actually becoming a PMM, we've been in product marketing for years and years and years, come take the Profitable PMM Challenge. If you're based here in London, I have my London mini conferences on product marketing, which are monthly and they're amazing. They have panels from PMMs from the likes of Netflix, Google, Meta, Amazon. Some are even my own clients. So you'll be able to learn from them and really up-level and upskill yourself. And also I do my own group coaching in my inner circle. So if you want to really upskill yourself as quickly as possible as a PMM to get to your personal goals in your life as quickly as possible, come join my inner circle. Again, you can find me at productmarketers.com. And if you'd like my socials, I'm Hattie the PMM on LinkedIn and also on YouTube.
Amazing. Thank you. I'm going to come along. I want to come to the meetups and hear these people speak. It's been great to chat to you, Hattie. Thank you so much for your time. And just closing up, if you would like to subscribe to our future episodes here at Stopgap Talks, please do give us a like, a share, a comment. And a big, big thank you again to Hattie for joining us today.